When I read the epistle of Sexagesima a Sunday every year, sometimes it's a little difficult to read the statement of St. Paul that once he was stoned without laughing, because unfortunately we have a lot of people here in California on the West Coast who would understand his words in a very different sense from what he intended, and they would think that they would say, well, I've been stoned many times, and be talking about using marijuana. So I thought today would be a good occasion to talk about mind-altering substances in general and what the church teaches about them, especially now that there are a lot of the laws against these things are being taken away or changed. This subject matter necessarily involves me discussing topics of medical or scientific knowledge, and I have to give a disclaimer that I am not a doctor, I don't have medical knowledge about these substances or their effects. And this sermon is really intended to discuss the moral aspects of drugs and alcohol. If you have a medical question on this subject, please consult a doctor. Let's talk first of all about alcoholic beverages. Now, it's important to avoid two extremes when it comes to alcohol. On the one hand, there is the Protestant idea that these drinks are too dangerous for people to drink without harm, and therefore nobody should drink them at all. In fact, in this country, all forms of alcoholic beverages were banned by federal law for over a decade in the Prohibition era. And then there's the other extreme that I think Catholics are much more likely to fall into, which is to have an overreaction against the excessive strictness of Protestantism, and to minimize the dangers involved in drinking alcohol, and to have a certain laxity about it, and even maybe to drink to excess. Now, certainly in Scripture we have the story of the marriage of Cana. We saw it just a few weeks ago. And all of the most Catholic countries of Europe have been producing and consuming wine since time immemorial. And many saints have also been known to drink wine. And all these are true, but none of this means that there are no dangers associated with it, or that it could be a source of many sins. So what sins can a person commit by abusing alcohol? The first and the most immediate danger is committing the sin of drunkenness, either partial or complete drunkenness. When a person drinks alcohol in moderation so that it doesn't have a significant effect on his behavior or on his self-control or on his mental focus, there's no sin involved. But if a person drinks to the point of partial intoxication so that his behavior is noticeably different, or his physical coordination is a little bit off, like he's stumbling a little bit, or he's slightly slurring his words, that is normally a venial sin, as long as he is still at least somewhat in possession of his faculties and is able to make conscious decisions and distinguish right from wrong. But drunkenness becomes mortally sinful when someone drinks to the point where his use of reason is completely destroyed. This happens if someone does things in this condition that he would never dream of doing if he were sober, such as saying things that are very impure, or getting into violent fights over very trivial things, or dancing on the table, or things like that, or engaging in risky activities, doing stunts that are very dangerous that he would never dream of doing in his right mind. Another case is if a person drinks to the point where he loses consciousness. That is also a mortal sin, because obviously, losing consciousness takes away your use of reason, in addition to possible brain injury as a result of that. Another indication that someone has committed a mortal sin of drunkenness would be if he can't remember even significant events that he did while he was drinking. For example, if the next day, if someone can't remember how he got home, that would mean that he was most likely gravely intoxicated. Those are the basic rules about drinking. However, there are circumstances in which drunkenness that would be maybe only a venial sin, according to those rules that I just gave, could be mortally sinful because of other circumstances. For example, if there is scandal involved, if a parent with children drinks alcohol in front of his children to the point where their behavior starts getting kind of strange, or they start making jokes that are not proper, or maybe backbiting other people in a manner that they would not do if they were sober. If this gives a very bad example to their children, and it makes their children think that this is normal or acceptable behavior, then that could be a mortal sin of scandal. Another very common problem is when drinking alcohol puts someone in the danger of committing other sins. For example, sins of impurity. So drinking alcohol in the company of a boyfriend or girlfriend or anyone that would pose a risk of temptations to impurity, that becomes mortally sinful very quickly, even if that person's use of reason is not significantly disturbed, even if in other circumstances they may not be committing any sin at all. And the reason for this is that alcohol greatly diminishes a person's self-control, even in very small amounts. And it takes so much self-control to resist the temptations against purity that what otherwise, in innocent circumstances, would be a very moderate amount of alcohol can make those temptations almost impossible to overcome and thus put that person in a proximate occasion of sin. Partial drunkenness can also be mortally sinful if it induces a person to put himself or other people in danger. People make very bad decisions, obviously under the influence of alcohol. And the most obvious example of this is driving a car or under the influence. If someone is drinking alcohol and they plan to drive home later on, they have to be very careful and they have to drink only a very small amount so that they can drive home safely. Alcohol can give someone a false sense of security, so it's very easy to think that someone can operate a car safely when he really can't if he has been drinking. So it's important to really err on the side of caution. If someone drives a car under the influence, if his coordination and his reflexes are impaired, that can very easily be a mortal sin of endangering not only his life, but of the lives of the other people on the road. It's a great tragedy when you think about how many thousands of people have been killed by drunk drivers, by people who thought they could drive safely. And it's a terrible scourge to society, and because of this, the government has severe penalties for people who are caught driving while they are impaired. And what goes for driving applies to any other risky activities, such as using power tools, playing rough sports, and things like that. There's another way that alcohol can be sinful to drink also, and that is if a person drinks to excess over a long period of time so that it has destructive effects on his health. Long-term consumption of alcohol in large quantities particularly is known to cause damage to the organs of the body, the liver, of course, and other organs. And if someone consumes alcohol, especially on a regular basis, they have a responsibility to ensure that they're not doing so to the detriment of their health. And they should consult with their doctor to make sure that this is not hurting their body. And again, there are thousands of people who may never drink to the point of complete intoxication, but who drink so much over such a long period of time that they greatly injure their health and shorten their life. And of course, this is a grave sin. So those are some of the more common problems with alcohol. Then what about marijuana? Is it safe or permissible for a Catholic to consume it, especially now that it has been pretty much made legal in California and other places too? Now, we're going to leave aside cases of medical necessity. I've heard of cases where people going through chemotherapy, for example, doctors tell them that it'll help them get better. That is a case of medical necessity, so we're not talking about that here, if it is a true medical necessity. Apart from that, the answer is no. A Catholic cannot use marijuana. First of all, marijuana has a much more powerful effect on the brain than alcohol does in terms of tampering with the use of reason. If you look up the effects that this drug has, you see that, first of all, it causes hallucinations. It interferes with a person's sense of time. It makes it difficult to make short-term memories. It causes anxiety or even paranoia, as well as slowing down the brain. And this, in turn, slows down a person's reflexes as a result of people being less aware of what's going on around them. So all of these symptoms indicate that a person's use of reason is being seriously impaired by these effects. And these are only the short-term effects of this drug. It has long-term effects, too. It has been proved to actually cause a person's IQ level to go down, which is a scientific way of saying this drug makes people stupid. All of these effects are the result of brain damage that this substance causes. It also changes people's personality. It takes away people's energy so that people who use marijuana on a regular basis become unambitious. They become lazy and content with being failures in life. So it really leads to the sin of sloth. So someone might ask, well, isn't there a double standard here? How can we say that it's okay to use alcohol with moderation, but we can't use marijuana at all? And the answer to this is to look at the effects that each of these drugs has on the people that use them. The majority of people that consume alcohol do so in moderation, or at the very least without really serious harm. But when we picture in our mind someone who uses marijuana on a regular basis, what kind of person do we think of? We think of someone who maybe even has trouble forming a coherent sentence, and who either doesn't have a job at all or has a very low-level job and is almost incapable of doing the duties of their state of life because this drug has almost destroyed their mind. And this is what happens to so many people that use this drug. And then if we look at our own Catholic heritage, we see that the populations of most Catholic countries, especially in Southern Europe and places like Italy and Spain and France, have all consumed wine for centuries, all while producing the greatest civilization the world has ever seen. And if we look at the populations that have consumed marijuana in large quantities, who are they? Mostly they are savage peoples living in jungles, in extremely primitive conditions. There is no advanced civilization known to history that used marijuana to any great extent. In fact, marijuana seems to have the opposite effect of actually destroying civilization wherever it is used to any great extent. The most recent proof of this was the hippie movement of the 1960s, which was the greatest attack against Christian civilization that has been seen in centuries, maybe ever. Millions of young people just declared an open warfare against every vestige of even natural morals, against marriage, against the virtue of purity, against the lawful authority of the government, and they went even to the extreme of rejecting private property and every other pillar that upholds the order of society. And for those people, what was their drug of choice? They all smoked great quantities of marijuana. That is not a coincidence. It tells you something about that drug if the only people that use it are people who are either completely uncivilized to begin with, or are trying their utmost to destroy the civilization that they live in. But on the other hand, you can find countless examples of saints that drank wine and were still canonized. We think of the apostle Saint John, the story where one day he sat down to eat dinner and they put his dinner in front of him and a glass of wine, and his wine had been poisoned by his enemies, mostly by heretics. And he would always make the sign of the cross over his food. And when he did that, the blessing he gave to his food made the poison completely harmless, and he drank the wine and was not poisoned. This story seems to indicate that he quite likely drank wine on a regular basis. And even in the inspired words of Scripture, St. Paul tells St. Timothy that he should drink a little bit of wine for his stomach because he had poor health. But please note the phrase that St. Paul used. He said, a little wine. So, of course, moderation is important. But on the other hand, I have never heard of a single case of a canonized saint that ever smoked marijuana, and I very much doubt that there is such an example. So that by itself says a lot. Last of all, in recent years, we've been hearing about another drug problem called the prescription medication epidemic of people who are prescribed painkillers and become addicted to them. Now, these substances are incredibly dangerous, far more dangerous even than alcohol or marijuana, because people need more and more of them as they become addicted. And in high doses, these medications actually become a lethal poison. According to government statistics compiled by the Center for Disease Control, more adults die of drug overdoses than die in car accidents. And most of those drugs are prescription medications. So this is not just a social problem, it's a grave moral problem as well. And all of this devastation, this loss of human life, is due to the desire to avoid pain. It's certainly a great temptation for someone in terrible pain to do whatever it takes to find relief. But when you look at the risks associated with these substances, it is just a very dangerous thing to use. And these things should only be used in cases of very, very extreme necessity, and even then only for a very short amount of time to avoid the risk of addiction. Rather, someone who is suffering pain should offer it up in reparation for their sins. Millions of people have had their lives destroyed by these substances. People who, before they started using them, had no substance abuse problems at all. It just makes no sense to risk everything, both in this world and in the next, just to avoid some pain. If a person offers their pain to God instead, save their body and their soul at the same time. So let us conclude all of this with the words of St. Paul. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is luxury, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.